We're in our Sunday school lesson out of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 30 be talking or teaching from tonight. Genesis chapter 30. This morning we were ahead of this. We were looking in chapter 32, and so it kind of confused me when I went back and looked over my Sunday school lesson. I was like, I thought this already happened, but it had from this morning. But this is part number 56 of our study through the book of Genesis. And we've done this, it's 56 weeks. We've missed a few weeks there and then got started back on it. But 56 lesson out of this book of beginnings, which is what Genesis is, the book of beginnings, the book of firsts. And always remember that. It's very important to understand that a lot of the things, even today, the things that we understand and know about, this is where they began, in the book of Genesis. Well, here we have one of the patriarchs that we're talking about tonight, which is Jacob, which, as we mentioned this morning, God changed his name to Israel. It's not in this lesson tonight, but it'll be in a few from here when that takes place. But Genesis chapter 30, we're going to look at, I'm not going to read all the verses. We'll go over a few at a time as we go through this lesson. And I've titled the lesson, Ring, Straight, Speckled, and Spotted, and that is from the text. And you'll understand that as we get going. But let's look at those first verses, verse 25 and 26, Genesis chapter 30. And here the Bible says, And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service, which I have done thee. Well, let's pause for a moment and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of the text. We thank you for the service we've had tonight, the good singing. And Lord, we just pray it was pleasing to you. But God, we're now needing you to help us as we go through this text here in the book of Genesis, Lord, that you'll guide us in it. May the Holy Spirit illuminate the scripture for us. And Lord, give us the best understanding that we can possibly get. And Lord, we're praying that you're glorified in this, in everything that we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we come to, and I use this word a lot, pivotal. Pivotal. It's a very important time in the life of Jacob. And I may use that word a lot. I may overuse it. But there's certain things that you look at in the lives of the men and women of the Bible, and you can pinpoint times that we can call pivotal. And that simply means life-changing. Things that make a difference. Things that it used to be this way, and now it's going to be this way. So, very changing times here in the life of Jacob. And after spending 14 years working for Laban for his wife, the one that he wanted, Rachel, he worked. He had to end up working 14 years because the first 7 years, which he had agreed upon to have her as his wife, we know what happened. Laban tricked him, and he sent in his older daughter, Leah. And then after Jacob, of course, confronted him about it, he agreed if he'd work another 7 years, he'd go ahead and let him have his younger daughter, Rachel, which is the one that he really desired. That was the bride that he wanted. And so, in essence, he worked 7 years for Rachel, even though it was a 14-year period, but the time span that he was doing it was a 7-year period, and that's going to come back here before we're over. We're going to talk about that some more. But so working 14 years altogether so far for Laban, he's fulfilled his contract now. The contract's up. He's done what he agreed on. And now he wants to go back home. And what he's talking about, he says, send me, let me go. And he says that he wants to go to his country and his own place. He's talking about Canaan. He intends to go back to Canaan. And so that's what he requests of Laban. He says, give me my wives, give me my kids, give me all my stuff. And I've fulfilled my contract. And now I want to go back to my country and begin our lives there in the land that is mine. Well, this is not going to be too good for Laban. He doesn't want this to occur. Jacob, he wants to be his own man. He's been Laban's man for 14 years. And so he really doesn't have all that much of his own. He doesn't have a home. He doesn't have all the animals and things that Laban has and the servants. He doesn't have all of that. And so he wants to become his own man and not be working for somebody else. And so he requests to move away, allow me to do this. He wants to start his own farm and his family and all. So look at verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. Well, of course, Laban is very nervous about this. He doesn't want Jacob to leave. Just as he said there, when Jacob came along, God started blessing everything that Laban had. He started increasing in cattle and servants and wealth and children and grandchildren, all these. He's got everything now. So Laban has increased because of the presence of Jacob being there in his home. And he knows that. And, you know, you can look at it like he's giving God credit for it, but Laban does not seem to follow God like we think of. In the land that Laban lived was a land full of idolatry. They worshipped false gods. And I don't believe Laban was a Lord God Jehovah follower. But he would bring up the name of Jacob's Lord and God whenever anything like this happened. So he throws that out there. Your God has blessed me since, you know, you've been here. And so he does, he says, for I've learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. So it's because of Jacob that the Lord has blessed him, not because of anything he's done. And we know that's the case. He's not done anything really any good, Laban. So Laban wants to renegotiate Jacob's contract. He wants to see what Jacob will take now to stay on, remain one of his hired hands so that he continues getting blessed. He don't want to lose all these blessings. So he just asked him, he says, "What? Appoint me thy wages. Tell me what you want. And we'll renegotiate, make you a new contract. You stay on here and help me." Verse 29. And he said unto him, "Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for my own house also?" Jacob again expresses his concern about wanting to start his own family, wanting to start his own place and move on. And he reiterates what Laban has just said. God's been blessing you since I've been here. You had very little when I got here. But now that I've been here 14 years, you have really increased in things, in wealth and everything. And so he solidifies that fact. And this is for a reason. He's not just rattling on to waste time or to have something to say. Jacob is building a case right here. Jacob is a smart man. Jacob has something in mind already going around in the wheels in his brain, and this is the way he's setting it up. And he begins by reminding him, even again, it is because of me. If I wasn't here, you would have very little. So I am really what you need here at your farm. So, now, bear in mind, we're dealing with two of the craftiest people in all the Bible. Jacob, we mentioned this morning, a deceiver. His name means supplanter, deceiver, liar. That's what his name means. He was that way in his own mother's womb. He was that way. He was that way as a young boy. He's that way as he grown up to be a man. He's been that way all his life. And Laban has been too. Laban is a deceiver. We saw all the things he's already done now to deceive Jacob, you know, by hiding who he really gave him as a wife. And so both of these men are, they're very crafty. They both want the best deal, and they both think they're going to get the best deal. What Laban doesn't know is Jacob has the upper hand on him. He's got the upper hand. Look at verse 31. And he said, "What shall I give thee?" And Jacob said, "Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock." All right. This is what Jacob's been building up to. All right, Laban. Laban says, "Okay, what do you want? What's your wages? What can I give you to convince you to stay on with me?" And Jacob says, "I don't want you to give me anything. I don't want anything from you. But if you'll do this for me..." And he's leading it up here. "I will again feed and keep thy flock. I'll agree to stay on." And I don't know the time period that they agreed upon, but it's going to be 6 years is how long he's going to stay after this. So Jacob knows that he has the upper hand, and he's got this plan in mind. And so he's going to make Laban an offer that he cannot refuse. Look at verse 32. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. All right, now, when we read about what Jacob asked for and the means in which he gets it accomplished, we start thinking, well, here he goes again. He's being deceitful. And we know what he's about to do. We know of the things that he does to ensure that he increases in cattle. And we start thinking, well, he's doing wrong. He's struck out on his own. He's not following God's will. But he is following God's will. And so how do we know that? Well, if you want to look in the next chapter, Genesis 31, starting with verse 4, we see that all this, God has a plan in place. And so all these things that Jacob is doing is actually in God's will. Genesis 31, starting with verse 4, the Bible says, "And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before. And here it is, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me." He's already mentioned now twice. God is the one that God has been with me. God's caused him not to hurt me. Verse 8. "If he thus said, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight." Verse 9, "Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me." You see that? Jacob says, God's the one that's done this. God took your father's cattle away and gave them to me. Verse 10, "And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes, and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now rise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." So we see in those verses right there that God was with Jacob in all this. He's the one that caused all these things to happen and the cattle to be born the way they were. And that he's actually protecting Jacob from Laban in all this. And so Jacob is following God's will. Now, it doesn't look like it at first because of all the things he's done. It looks kind of shady the way he does them. But we're going to talk about it here as we go. But these things that he's doing, even though they may appear to be shady, it's really not what he's doing that's causing the cattle to be born the way they are. It's God actually causing them to be that way. So Jacob is following the Lord's leadership. Jacob has been tending to Laban's cattle for 14 years. He's watched their habits, their characteristics. He knows about the breeding process. He's very smart. He probably knows more about these animals than Laban does. And so he knows the times they need to be fed and the times that they need to conceive and the way they need to, the conditions they need to be in when this happens. And so he understands it and he sees a pattern that when a certain thing happens, then a certain kind of cattle is born from it. And so he's going to use his experience and his skills to provide for his family. Look at verse 34 back in our text, Genesis chapter 30. "And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks." Well, Laban feels like he's gotten a pretty good deal. I believe right now Laban thinks, I really got him this time. He's going to work for me for free. All I've got to do is allow him to take all the unwanted animals. He's going to take those off my hands. That I won't have to worry about those. He'll take those, and I don't even have to pay him. I mean, he's thinking he has really struck a good deal, a bargain here. I'm sure he's going to walk away, you know, counting his money and counting all of his, you know, good luck he's had here. But we see the word cattle right here that's used. Here in East Tennessee, when we think of cattle, we think of cows. I do. I was raised all, with land all around me, fields on all sides. And so I saw cattle every day. But cattle where we are cows. But cattle in Jacob's culture are sheep and goats is what that's referring to. Now, they did have some oxen. They had some things. But that wasn't their main staple that they raised. They raised sheep and goats. And so that's what's referring to cattle. That word cattle actually means a small animal. The way from the translated word that it's used from the Hebrew means a small animal. Well, the reason Laban didn't mind for Jacob to take the ring strake, the spotted, the speckled, the grizzled, the brown out of the goats and all this was because those were the undesirable animals. When it came to sheep, they wanted white. They wanted pure white. Those were considered pure, and that was their desire. So if they were born speckled and spotted and off-colored and all this stuff, then they were not considered good animals. And so this is no big deal for him to lose these. They would have culled those out anyway, probably. But most of the sheep in that area were white. And so it was kind of rare for them to be born any other way. And the goats, most of those were actually black, solid black. Some of them were brown, but we see that Jacob says he'll take all the brown ones. They obviously don't want the brown ones either. And so the first thing that Laban does, he goes through and he removes all of those undesirable animals, puts them in the care of his sons, Laban's sons, and they drive them off in a 3 days journey from where they're at. So there's a separation there. Laban keeps these flocks that are going to belong to Jacob a 3 day journey away so they don't get mixed up and intermingled. And so they're, you know, separated. It takes a lot of area to raise these kind of animals. They require a big pasture to graze in and walk and everything. And so they'll take up miles of grazing. And so he wants them separated so they don't get all together. And Jacob stays behind and continues taking care of Laban's flocks, just as he promised he would. Now, from here on out, any time that any of them's born with ring strake, which, by the way, ring strake means striped, kind of like a zebra, stripes, ring strake striped, speckled, spotted, you know what that means. They got dots and round circles and all this stuff, different things in their fur. But all these, from this point on, that gets born after this time, they're going to belong to Jacob. He'll get them out. He'll cut them out of the flocks, and he'll drive them over to where his flocks are. And we're going to see that they're really going to increase. Now we're going to look at the mode that Jacob uses here. Look at verse 37. It says, "And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled white strakes in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle." Well, we see the method that Jacob uses. He believes that if he takes these poplar branches, and it's a green limbs off of poplar trees, or even the tree itself, if he takes these cuts of wood that are green and cuts stripes in them, these ring strakes, and puts them up at the watering troughs when they come to drink, well, when they conceive, if they're looking at those poplar limbs that's sticking up, that he believes that will cause them to have offspring that are striped as well. Now, to Jacob, it looks like it's working because it is working. They are being born that way. When he brings them in front of those and they look at those when they conceived, and they have cattle that are ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. But it's not because Jacob has done this. This is not some kind of magic trick. It's because God has caused it to happen this way. You need to understand that. When God's will is in it, then God is going to cause those animals to do that. I fully believe that Jacob could have just continued on as normal and not done any of this, and God still would have produced these ring-streaked, spotted, and speckled animals. And so God is going to prevail here in this situation because he has a plan for Jacob. Look at verse 41. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. So what Jacob is doing here, he's using selective breeding. Now that is a legitimate way of breeding animals. They take the stronger animals and they breed them together to produce strong offspring. Now, you don't want to take a weak animal and, you know, we call them runts. You know, it's just like you take two runt dogs, they're going to have a runt puppy. You know, but if you take these full-bred dogs, strong, you know, and have them mate together, they're going to produce a like type of offspring. And so he is using selective breeding. And he also made sure to put the rods out in the water whenever the strong animals came. He's still following that pattern. And so when they conceived, they also, not only would they be strong, but they would be speckled and ring-streaked and spotted. And they would belong to him. Now, all of this, of course, like we mentioned, is the Lord blessing Jacob in all of this. Jacob, as we just saw there, he increased exceedingly. He becomes extremely wealthy. Men servants, maid servants, all the, it says camels and asses, much cattle and all this. So he has really increased in his wealth, and now he's probably one of the most wealthiest men in that region. Laban is a wealthy man, but Jacob now is getting wealthier than Laban, and this is not going to settle well. We're going to study that tonight because it'll be in the next lesson. But when when Laban finds out and sees what's going on, and his sons see it too, when they understand what's become of their wealth, and it's all went to Jacob. All these things that were Laban's are now Jacob's, and so this is not going to set well with them, and they're going to get very upset and angry about it and try to do something about it. But we'll talk about that in the next study. And like I said, Jacob's going to continue this same thing for 6 years as he works for him, because when he does finally leave in the next chapter, he says, I've been with you for these 20 years. So he remains with Laban for 20 years total. So in the rest of this lesson tonight, I want us to consider something in this story that you may not have gleaned from. Maybe you wasn't thinking in this way, but as you know, I like to think in the ways of typology. I mention it a lot, and you may get bored of it, but to me it's exciting when I look at things in the Bible and see how they're a type of something, a type of what's to come, a type of that's in the New Testament, something that God has promised, and we see a typology in all of this. So I want to talk about this just for a little bit, and all the different people in here. Let's look at what they may represent in a type. First of all, we're going to look at Jacob. Jacob is a type of Christ. He may not seem that way to you because of who he has always been, but he's a type of Christ in this story. He left his father, Isaac, who was a very wealthy man. You know, the Lord Jesus left his father in heaven, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, similar in Jacob's case, Isaac, his father, very wealthy man down in the land of Canaan, owned all kinds of cattle. He left his father to do his father's will. What did his father say? Don't you marry a woman from Canaan. I want you to go back and marry from our family. And that's what he's done. So he followed his father's will to go, and what is he going to look for? A bride. So he's seeking a bride. What did Christ do? Christ left his father, very wealthy, cattle on 1,000 hills. What did Jesus continually say throughout the New Testament? I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Why did he come here? To get a bride. The church. The church is the bride of Christ. And so we see this typology represented in Jacob. Jacob being a type of Christ who's left the Father to do the Father's will to get a bride. How long did he work for his bride? 7 years. 7 years is being the number of perfectness in the Bible. It's the spiritual number, the God number sometimes called. But it always represents perfectness. And so that's what he's done. 7 years he's labored for his bride, and he finally got to have her. Now, we know that there was additional seven because of the trick of Laban. But he worked for his bride for 7 years, and he redeemed her for his own. So the bride belongs to him. So let's look at it again. He's a type of Christ. He left the Father to do the Father's will, to seek a bride whom he paid for through his labor. Christ paid for the bride of Christ, for his bride, the church. He paid with his own blood and redeemed us. So you can see that type there in Jacob. Now, what if we looked at these animals here, the ringstrake, the speckled, the spotted cattle? I see these as a type of the world, is what I see. I believe the ones that were perfect and white and solid colors, I believe those to be a type or a picture of maybe the Jewish race, of God's people, and that Jewish religious system is what I see that as. But as far as the speckled, ring-straked, and spotted, I see those as a type of the world, those that were undesirable, those that nobody wanted. But what happened? Jacob, who is a type of Christ, what did he do? He said, I want all the undesirables. I want the ring-straked, the spotted, the speckled. What did Christ do? He came and he took all the undesirables. He took you and me. Not just the Jew, but Gentile-like, which, by the way, is what we are. We're considered Gentile. And we are considered undesirable. Those that are, the Jew would look at us and say that we are not part of God's plan, but the Lord Jesus says, oh, yes, I want those. I want those. That's why the Bible says, whosoever come, whosoever drink of the water of life freely. And so we see these types in here. Jacob as he's separating. And also you can see that as a type, the separation. The Bible says he separate the sheep from the goats. And we can see this is the type of separation. There's a lot of thoughts that, you know, one of the goats is the bad ones. But no, that's the goats are the ones that the Lord wants. They're the ones that the world don't want, the undesirables, but he wants and he'll take those. And so he makes the undesirable his own. Those that were otherwise rejected and considered impure. The white sheep are the pure ones. That's why I see them as maybe a type of Israel or a type of the Jewish race or religious system. But the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Luke says this in Luke 5:32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So I believe we see this as the type of the sinner, the world, these ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. I believe what I see in there is a picture of myself. I see a picture of us that the Lord looked upon and had mercy upon us and grace and allowed us to be part of his plan. Well, what if we looked at Laban? Laban could be a type as well. He could be a type of that Jewish system of laws. Or we can look at him as a type of Satan. When I see Laban, I see that he's much like Satan. He disrupts. He hinders, he cheats, he lies, and so ultimately he tries to prevent Jacob from being able to take his bride. What does the devil try to do? He tries to prevent the Lord from taking his bride, but he can't. He doesn't prevail. The Lord prevails. Same here in this story. Jacob, type of Christ, takes his bride. Laban, type of Satan, tries to hinder that. And keep him from being able to take her, but he's able to take her. Well, I'm sure there's a whole lot more in this, and I could have spent hours studying on the types, and we could have kept beating a dead horse on all this, but I believe you get the picture. What I'm trying to do is get you to understand that when you're reading the Bible, try to look as deep into it as you can. Don't just take it off the surface. Surface reading is fine, and you know, but what we're trying to do is dig for gold. That's what the Bible, that's what we need to do in the Bible. Dig for those nuggets that's down in there that may escape you just glazing over, trying to buzz through reading it. You know, I'm trying to get through this chapter, you know, this week, or I'm trying to read the Bible through in a year. And we're doing that. We're reading the Bible every morning to read it through in a year. But don't just buzz through it and not think about it. Think about what it's saying. Look for things that are unexpected. Look for types. Look for things that God may be trying to tell us that is not really noticeable to the obvious, something that's not obvious, because I believe that's what he wants us to do. That's the way you get to know the Word of God and get to know the things of God, is by examining them, looking at them, praying over it, meditating upon the Scripture. And, you know, anything that's worth doing is worth doing right. And so if you're wanting to know the Word of God and know God more, that's the way you do it. And I just want to encourage you to do that in your Bible study. Well, we're going to stop right there. And Lord willing, we'll pick up on this next Sunday. And this next, is this the end of the chapter, or is there more there? I've already closed my Bible. That's all that chapter. We'll start on the next chapter next Sunday evening, Lord willing, in Sunday school. And that'll be chapter 31. And we'll see that all this event that took place, as we've already read a little bit of it tonight, is not going to set well with Laban and his sons, and they're going to get very angry. And then we're going to see Jacob finally leaves that land and goes back to Canaan. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the Sunday school lesson tonight. I pray, Lord, it was thoughtful and helpful. And Lord, I thank you for revealing these things to us. Lord, may we look for these hidden nuggets down in your Word. And God, not to brag or boast about it or to get hung up on these types, but God, to understand you more and to glean the most out of your Word that we possibly can. God, we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, if you'll lead us and guide us and illuminate, and Lord, that's what we desire tonight. Help us, Father. Help those that we've been praying for, those that are sick and those that's lost loved ones. And we pray, Lord, that you help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.